This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Hello and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we, the people. It is Saturday, April 21st, 2018. We're in hour one of the broadcast. I have a ton of news, literally, to share with you today, so I don't know if we'll even get to phone calls or not. If so, it'll be the most likely the last half hour of the broadcast. Last week, of course, we were coming to grips with the sad facts of the Syrian airstrikes, which, of course, you know, isn't it interesting in the news media this week? Where normally mainstream media will go through and show all the bomb sites and give you the collateral damage and blah, blah, blah. Well, Lester the Cuck Holt did not do that this week. And, of course, I know they're claiming that there was no deaths in this attack, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't change anything for me. I'm off the 4D chess, take what we get, whatever, Trump bandwagon. We're going to have to go through in the first 30 minutes some of the aftermath of this as more revelations keep coming to light, and we'll get to that shortly, but just some of the things needing to be mentioned up front. How about the fact Donald Trump is getting, of all people, Rudy Giuliani to help him on his legal team? Rudy Giuliani, who had to be in to it up to the top of his forehead in the 9/11 cover-up. I mean, he's one of the ones that had to know exactly what was going on, and of course he played his role. I mean, he's the epitome of a sellout traitor. I was trying to think of anyone any worse, and I know he's on his legal team, but that's like being anemic and calling Dracula for help. Rudy Giuliani, I don't know. Is there anyone worse than McCain, Lindsey Graham, Gingrich Yagoda, Satan himself? Who could you get worse than that? I mean, this folly just continues. I mean, and I know you know all the headlines of what's happened this week, but it's just unbelievable. Starbucks, we're going to get into that sometime probably after the bottom of the hour. I mean, obviously, this is a media-created hysteria. They're Trayvon Martining this story. It's not unusual to throw people out of a business. I've done it many times. It just comes with the territory, unfortunately. And this is all being, I mean, this thing is on the world news, the local evening news, freaking Inside Edition. This is an obvious media created hysteria to keep it in the forefront of the news. It's on Rush Limbaugh, it's on the Paul and Hannity show, I mean, on and on. I think Glenn Beck was crying about it this past week. So you see that they pick and choose these stories with this anti-white bias. We'll get to it. We'll get to that story shortly. Apparently, now I don't want to verify, this could be something regional, I don't know. But it looks like the dailystormer.name is down. I can't get it, okay? So it looks like dailystormer.name is down. Something interesting about that, I heard Andrew England this past week, and he was discussing the fact that he had reached out to Alex Jones to interview him to discuss the plight. I mean, it's the most censored website in the world, in the history of the world, in the history of the internet. It's a real story. Whether you like it, don't like it, disagree, I can tell you this much. There's a lot of news and information that goes totally unreported other than, for me, part than the Daily Stormer. And then sometimes that migrates over to the NewObserverOnline.com or a few other websites. I've given them out here numerous times. But I wanted to get that in. And isn't that interesting? Alex Jones always looking for, you know, the censorship story, always on the cutting edge of saving the world single-handedly. I personally am not a Alex Jones fan. I know he's put out some videos that you could argue are good. He's put out some good information. I get all that. You know, obviously I'm an individual. I have the right to my own opinion, and personally I don't have a lot of faith in Alex Jones. But be that as it may, you can do what you want to. I wanted to make mention in the beginning here, Ken O'Keefe last Saturday put out an excellent video. I would play it today if he didn't say the F word about every, 15 to 20 seconds. But who can blame him? And you're wanting to know, it was on the Syrian airstrikes. Ken O'Keefe, he's being really censored on the internet and on YouTube. So you may want to check that out. But he is hitting a target-rich environment. He is over the enemy and dropping the bombs. Ken O'Keefe, check that out. It's not a very long one. If I'd had time this week, I would have maybe tried to edit out all the cursing so I could play it. It was that good. It was that good. Also, I wish I had time to play it. It's 22 minutes long. I doubt I'll be able to do it today, but NationalVanguard.org, the weekly podcast, Kevin Alfred Strom, last Saturday, knocking it out of the park on Syria. So I wanted to make mention of this. Last Saturday, I watched, of course, RT.com, the only place I could find. I watched the United Nations Emergency Security Council meeting that Russia had called. And they carried it in full. And it was really interesting to hear what Russia had to say. Russia had put forth a resolution to stop the aggression in Syria. Wow. Like, they're promoting peace, right? That's what it was. I listened to it. And, of course, France, ungrate Britain, and the United States all voting against it. But it was really interesting. There was a bunch of countries that abstained from the vote. And some of the countries that abstained when they went through giving everyone a turn to speak said that they abstained because if the resolution passed, the United States would just veto it. I mean, the whole body gets the fact of how rigged it is. And the other thing is the ambassador from Syria got to speak. And the ambassador to Syria now in the United Nations Security Council meeting, an emergency meeting convened on a Saturday, is sitting there for the whole council to hear, and the whole world, those that, CNN's not streaming this or carrying it, I can guarantee you that. The only place I could find, and I'm sure there was others, but was RT, and they were carrying it in full. But the Syrian ambassador is sitting there, and he's saying that 30% of our country is being occupied by a foreign invader, the United States of America, that backs ISIS, that backs terrorists to fight our legitimate government. And we respectfully ask the world to stop this foreign invader from committing these atrocities inside a sovereign country. I mean, it's just amazing. I'll be honest with you, I sit there, I'm giving you a 3-minute summary of something that took, I don't know, a couple of hours, I guess, because they went around and around. But I watched the whole thing. And Russia, oh, wow. Russia just dropping truth bomb after truth bomb after truth bomb. And you have to sit there and see that sad face of ugly ass Nikki Haley, who I despise beyond freaking belief for numerous reasons, and I think it's actually a disgrace that she's even a representative of anything other than the buffoon club, but whatever. Her sitting there looking like she just recently sucked about 2 lemons, listening to the ambassador to the United Nations from Russia just recount and recant the sad plight of United States foreign policy with regards to Syria. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. Also, before we get started on the news, not going to speak ill of the dead, not this close to a death. wasn't raised that way. But I will mention Barbara Bush dead at 92, and so I guess the last Aleister Crowley lookalike has left the world. Okay, we'll move on to the news. Now listen to this, and I've got a lot of news. It's not going to all be about Syria, but I'm a lot of news I left out last week, so bear with me. I think a lot of this has probably went unreported. I don't know. I didn't get to listen to a lot of radio this week, probably the least I've got to listen to this whole year, but be that as it may, here we go. RT.com, after visiting Douma, Western media begins to question gas attack narrative. Now, if we had a legitimate media in America, which obviously we don't, and the Syrian bombing is just, I mean, is the cherry on the top of the proof of this, of course, then they would be questioning this obvious false flag attack that led to this unwarranted, unconstitutional, unjust aggression by the United States government. After speaking with eyewitnesses on the ground in Syria, even mainstream media are beginning to cast doubt on the West narratives of an alleged gas attack in Douma, as medics tell French, German, and UK media, it never happened. The AFP, the world's third largest news agency, and The Independent, a British online newspaper, have each published stories that question whether chlorine or any other chemical was used against Syrians in eastern Ghouta on April 7th. In a French-language video report, AFP spoke with Marwan Jaber, a medical student who witnessed the aftermath of the alleged attack. Some of the victims suffered from asthma and pulmonary inflammation. They received routine treatment and some were even sent home, Jaber told the AFP. They showed no symptoms of a chemical attack, but some foreigners entered while we were in a state of chaos and sprinkled people with water while others were filming it. Like I said last week, they don't even have to stage it well. I mean, it's not even the B team. It's the C or D team, or E if they've got one. I don't know how far it goes. It may be the P team, the Z team. I don't know. It's not even staged well, and it's causing the supposed largest and smartest and biggest military in the world to engage in acts of aggression in a sovereign country. Jaber's testimony is consistent with claims made by a Douma doctor who spoke with veteran UK journalist Robert Fisk, although Dr. Asim Rahabani did not personally witness what happened in the medical clinic. He said that all the doctors he works with now know what happened. According to Rahabani, intense shelling had created dust clouds that seeped into the basement and cellars where people lived. People began to arrive here suffering from hypoxia, oxygen loss. Then someone at the door, a white helmet, shouted gas, and a panic began. People started throwing water over each other. Yes, the video was filmed right here. It is genuine video, but what you see are people suffering from oxygen deprivation and not a gas poisoning. Now, mainstream media in America is not sending anyone over to cover this for the NBC or ABC or CBS like nightly propaganda. Writing in The Independent, Fisk noted that locals he spoke with never believed and the gas attack stories, and it tells of President Bashar Assad's chemical atrocities have been spread by armed Islamic groups who had imprisoned and enslaved thousands of people in Ghouta before the town was liberated by the Syrian forces in April. If you look at the video of when it was liberated by Syrian forces and Russians, the people are in the streets clapping and shouting, welcoming Russian forces, something that we don't see these days when the American forces show up in foreign countries. Well, needless to say, they're not so happy about it. Meanwhile, a report aired by the German RTL group owned channel NTV says it's unclear whether the attack even took place at all, given the most of the locals told them on camera they didn't smell or see any chemicals. One local told them he remembers a weird smell and was fine after a glass of water, and one man who didn't want to show his face insisted that there was no smell of chlorine. However, a local doctor told the channel Saturday, a week ago, we treated people with breathing problems, but chlorine or gas poisoning, no. There was absolutely no symptoms of that. So RT.com running this story. Moscow has irrefutable evidence chemical attack in Syria's Duma was staged. Russia's envoy to the OPCW. Now, last week when I was watching the emergency meeting of the UN Security Council, Russia was telling the council and the whole world, whoever was watching, that, you know, why couldn't we wait for the investigation? Isn't this how this council is set up? Isn't that why we have the OPCW? Why was there an attack before we could even have an investigation? You know, which is obviously, but you know, you don't have any of the Republicans or the Democrats. You don't see your congressman on TV, do you? On your evening news or your local news saying, hey, I don't see my congressman on WXII or WGHP or any of these channels saying, hey, why didn't we just wait? You know, we're such great humanitarians. We care so much. Why couldn't we wait for the investigation? No, no. This, when there's war, especially when it's for Israel, well, by golly, they pass out the song sheet, and the Republicrats and the Democrats, they stand up, they put their hand over their heart, and they sing in perfect unison. But you know what? That is extremely hard for people to apparently see through. I had the opportunity this week, as I do most weeks, to talk to some normies and some boomers. And guess what? Every one of them, when I ask them, oh, was you for the Syrian airstrikes? Yes. Oh, yes. He was gassing his own people. Gassing his own people? That is how easily indoctrinated the feeble-minded sheep people of America are. And that, my friend, is the scariest thing that we said in this broadcast. It's not that these megalomaniacs run Washington, as scary as that is. It's not that these super sadistic, warmongering haters that are nothing but puppets control our military and our foreign policy. The most scary thing to me, and really after last week, from Saturday of last week or Friday night when I got a text that the attack had started, and then the news that I'm going to cover with you between now and 9:10:30 Eastern time, has really left me with the biggest sense. I've been doing this for a long time. If you count when I started doing it in the 90s, I've been doing it a real long time. A real sense of hopelessness. More so than I think I've had in a long time. I've had some hopelessness before. But the legislation that's being passed, the foreign policy, the talking to boomers, the seeing the local news. You know, there's a lot of great wide awake people that listen to RBN, that listen to this broadcast. God love you. But there are masses upon masses of complete idiots and fools that dot this landscape. And I don't know, you know, will we ever be able to overcome it? Moscow has irrefutable proof that the alleged chemical incident in Syria's Duma was a false flag attack orchestrated by the UK Security Service with support from the United States, the Russian envoy to the OPCW said. We have not just a high level of confidence, as our Western partners uniformly put it. We have irrefutable proof that there was no chemical attack in Duma on April 7th. Now, let's make note of this. Actually, Drudge ran this week for a brief moment that Russia had predicted there was going to be a fake gas attack in the area of Duma on March 13th. Now, I said that here on this broadcast weeks ago, long before the April 7th attack. I reported that Russia was saying there was going to be a false flag attack. Drudge actually ran the story this past week. I talked about it last week, and I'm sure others talked about it, hopefully. It actually got some mainstream media play. I've not seen it talked about, discussed anywhere in mainstream media, very little in alternative media. But Russia knows what happened. Russia's ambassador to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. Remember, we couldn't even wait for the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons to get there and inspect. All right, we'll talk about it on the other side. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to the Alternative Media with Farron. Back in moments.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
All right, we're back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio saying, give me liberty or let's give you death. And running down the biggest false flag hoax of 2018 so far, I guess. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. I may have a different opinion, but whatever. Here we go. Russia's ambassador to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. We couldn't even allow them to inspect. Alexander Shulgin said at a special meeting of the UN Chemical Watchdogs Executive Council, the diplomat added that the incident had been a pre-planned, this is what they're saying now, pre-planned false flag attack by the British security services, which could have also been aided by their allies in Washington. Things unfolded according to the pre-written scenario prepared by Washington. There's no doubt. The Americans play first fiddle in all of this, Shulgin said, adding that the attack was staged by pseudo-humanitarian NGOs, that's the White Helmets, which are under the patronage of the Syrian government's foreign adversary. So, you know, the British is funding this. We care so much. We send in these White Helmets. They do and we do. Because we supposedly care so much. Russian radiological, chemical, and biological warfare units carefully examined the scene of the alleged attacks mentioned in the NGO's report immediately after the liberation of Duma from the militant groups, Shulgin said. He then drew attention to the fact that the Russian military specialists found not a single piece of evidence sustaining the claims about the alleged chemical attacks. Instead, they found local witnesses who said that the video allegedly showing the aftermath of the perceived attack was, in fact, completely staged. You know, I was talking about this to someone this past week, and they said, "What do you mean to tell me you believe Russia and their media over the United States government and our media?" Duh. Yes, I can believe anyone's media over our media, and I can believe practically any politician in the world, except a couple located in the Middle East, over our own. That's how sad the situation has become. The timing of the attack was also bewildering, the Russian diplomat said, adding that the Syrian government has had absolutely no reason to gas its own citizens when the city was already almost liberated from the militants. Exactly. Under such circumstances, the accusations against Damascus looks completely absurd, he said. The senselessness of these claims is striking, Shulgin added, referring to the statements of the Western leaders. The U.S. and its allies are not interested in a real investigation into the alleged Duma attack, the Russian envoy to the OPCW said. Washington, London, and Paris immediately pinned the blame for the incident on Damascus and launched strikes against the Syrian military and civilian facilities without waiting for the OPCW team to even have the ability to start its own investigation on the ground. So isn't it interesting? Now, this is the type of information that's being played in areas of the world where they let RT broadcast. And, you know, it's difficult at times. It's been difficult in the last couple of days to get on their website, at least for me personally. But this type of actual facts, the true reality of the situation, we have become so emboldened. We being the United States the United States government, that we obviously don't care if we completely fake, poorly fake, practically just half-ass fake some reason to extend our military force into sovereign countries, into try to topple governments. Now, I said last week, if you read the Jerusalem Post, and I implore all of you, put that on your reading list and read that every morning. It won't take you 5-10 minutes to scroll down through it. Giddy were they about the fact that Assad was in the crosshairs and was coming under attack. And of course, all these warmongering lunatics masquerading around as representatives of the people. I'm talking about our Congress and our Senate. Giddy to the fact, all in support of war. You know, you can never get them on the same page to help the veterans. You can never get them, especially on the same page, if you're trying to secure our borders. And we're going to get to all that, and we'll be past the serious stuff here after next break. I've got a clip we've got to play, and then we're going to move on. But by golly, if you're ready to kill women and children, if you want to bomb a foreign country, if you're ready to topple a foreign government, and especially if it's in the interest of Israel. I'm not talking about Venezuela or some South American or some other country, but if it happens to border or be in the region of Israel, well, by golly, everybody seems like that. Well, just A-OK up in Washington, D.C. I'm sure there's some dots we could connect there, right? Unbelievable. But the reality of this one is so obviously plain. I mean, I think the American people know, and I'm saying the American people, they apparently will never know nothing. I mean, if I can't see through this one, they'll never know anything. We come back, we're going to play a clip from RT.com, then we're going to be moving on. I got a lot of different jaw-dropping news to share today. Trust me. Back in a moment.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All right, we are back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio running down the obvious sad false flag event that took place in Syria. The boy portrayed as a victim in this video I'm going to play of the alleged chemical attack in Douma has told a Russian TV crew that he was asked to go to the hospital where people grabbed him and started pouring water over his head. Panic, fear, screaming adults, and frightened children featured in the purported footage of the aftermath following the alleged chemical attack in eastern Ghouta City. The video has been circulated by mainstream media since April 7th after being posted by the so-called Douma Revolution Group. The group is one of the organizations, along with the notorious rebel-linked White Helmets, that has claimed government troops were the culprits behind the chemical attack. One of the main characters in the footage is a soaked boy who is seen being sprayed with water by people who claim to be rescue workers. It's not clear whether they're doctors from a hospital, human rights activists, or White Helmet members. The latter usually makes such videos and send them to news agencies, including Reuters. Now, Russian broadcaster VGTRK said it found the boy that was in the video, who appeared to be an 11-year-old named Hassan Dayab, and his story differed from the ones presented by the activist and later propagated by the mainstream media. So here, Russia, RT.com, actually done some actual journalism, something that we don't see nowhere in mainstream media of any kind here in America. So the video's a little bit long. It runs about 8 or 10 minutes, but we're going to play it here. Let's go ahead, Sam, play video 2. Okay, we may have just a little bit of an issue with that. If things change on that end, Sam, just let me know. We'll come back to it. I wanted to mention this while we're discussing Syria. One of the targets destroyed by the Allied attack on Syria was a cancer research institute, which had previously served as an operating base for the United Nations chemical weapons research teams. Did you know that? Of course not. I mean, unless you're watching RT or some, you're not seeing that on the evening news anyway. A statement issued by the Syrian Arab News Agency revealed that the destroyed building was the pharmaceutical and chemical.
These are harrowing.
Here we go. I believe we've got our video ready. All right, here we go. RT on the attack with the boy in the video. Here we go.
These are harrowing scenes. Panic, fear, terror, soaked, trembling children, screaming adults, and strange as it may seem, many of them had no idea about what was going on.
We were in the basement. My mother told me that we had run out of food and wouldn't have anything to eat until tomorrow. I heard a noise outside. Somebody was shouting that we had to go to the hospital, so we went there. When I came in, some people grabbed me, started pouring water over my head.
11-year-old Hassan Diab was one of the apparent victims in the White Helmets video. Here he is, after being drenched and sprayed. He was found in Douma and interviewed by Russian war correspondent Evgeny Podubny. He's fine, if a little confused.
That's me in the video, that's me. Yes.
As were many other kids. Any child would be terrified. Ergo, the panic which the White Helmets were there to film. He was eventually found, though, by his father, who was none the wiser.
I didn't hear anything about a chemical attack. I was outside, but I didn't notice anything. I heard that my family was in the hospital.
It does make sense. A poisonous gas would be invisible, you'd imagine. Everybody would want to take precautions, especially when you're hungry and they give out food at the hospital.
I went to the hospital, walked upstairs and found my wife and children. I asked them what had happened, and they said people outside were shouting about some smell and told them to go to the hospital. At the hospital, they gave dates and cookies to the kids.
One of the doctors, who was reportedly on shift at the time, seemed surprised by the sudden influx.
Some people come to here and wash people in water, and they said, chemical attack, chemical attack. We didn't see any chemical attack symptoms here.
The doctor and others did, however, say that some people came in complaining about difficulty breathing, which is common. When an explosion destroys a building, for example, there's a lot of dust, makes it difficult to breathe, and especially affects people with asthma.
People from the White Helmets told us about the use of chemical weapons, but we saw no sign of that. If chemical weapons were used against those people, our medical staff would have also been affected.
We've sent a request to the White Helmets to comment on this, but have received no answer yet. What we have seen is more and more witnesses coming forward to say there was only panic and no evidence of chemicals.
We heard an explosion, and somebody said it was a chemical weapon. We ran to where the noise came from and started pouring water over the people, but they seemed to be okay and then walked away without any help.
People got so confused. Somebody started pouring water over people's heads, saying there had been a chemical attack. I was at the spot with my wife and daughter, but none of us experienced any symptoms of chemical poisoning.
It's remarkable how these scenes convinced three countries to launch cruise missiles at Syria. Especially remarkable when you realize that so many of the people here had no idea about what was going on, only that someone shouted about chemicals.
The US and the majority of European countries say a chemical attack did happen in the town of Douma, citing their own intelligence sources. They accused the Syrian government of deploying a toxic agent over the area, which at the time was held by rebels. American, British, and French militaries, they hit Syria with an airstrike in retaliation, targeting a number of facilities, which they claimed were related to chemical weapons production and development. Meanwhile, allegations of a chemical attack are now being questioned even by some in the Western media. A British journalist, Robert Fisk, visited Douma and was unable to find any witnesses. A former counter-terrorism officer, Charles Shoebridge, says he's also seeing signs of backtracking on accusations.
Journalists have got in on the ground. Robert Fisk is a notable person that I'm thinking of there. He, as he says, unattended by Syrian government employees and so on, he spoke to ordinary residents and to medical staff, who none of whom confirmed the idea that there was a chemical attack. We're already, I think, seeing, I'm detecting signs myself, that there is a slight backtracking amongst government statements, rowing back slightly, saying, well, actually, we weren't completely clear. That's why we were relying on social media. We were relying on activists on the ground. And that's why we only carried out a limited strike. So they're already, I think, preparing the ground for the possibility, at least, that this OPCW report isn't particularly helpful. For example, it may actually find that there were no trace of chemicals, of chemical warfare.
A team from the chemical weapons watchdog, the OPCW, came under fire in Syria on Wednesday while trying to enter the town of Douma. They are in the country to investigate the alleged chemical attack on April the 7th. RT's Ilya Petrenko has the latest developments.
First, I just want to break down the process for you, how it works. Initially, the UN security team is meant to be sent on the ground to assess whether it's safe to work there. And the agreement has been that at a certain stage, they must be escorted by the Syrian troops, and at a different stage, by Russia's military police. So the security staff, apparently, they were on this initial rehearsal trip, to put it this way. And according to an official statement by the OPCW, they came under small arms fire, and then also an explosive device was detonated, and that was the reason why they had to retreat and go back to Damascus. We understand from the statement from the Russian army that the exchange of fire happened when it was specifically the Syrian army in charge of providing security for that squad.
On the 17th of April, while securing the UN reconnaissance mission in the city of Douma, a skirmish occurred between the Syrian Security Service and unknown figures. An officer from the Syrian Security Service was slightly wounded in an exchange of fire.
Previously, Washington and London were pointing the finger at Russia and their ally Syria for what they called trying to hide facts and also hamper the mission of the chemical watchdog in Syria.
A wider operation to conceal the facts of the attack is underway, supported by the Russians.
Their whole goal in this is to try to cover up.
Of course, it's not up to the UN and the OPCW to judge who this attack came from, but what it is worth asking is whether the Russians and the Syrians are genuinely helping them out on the ground. And if the answer is yes, that might put London and Washington in a somewhat awkward position here.
Chemical weapons expert at Rice University, James Tor, says any attempts to cover tracks will prove fruitless.
It'd be very hard to clean the area up from any trace of the residues of a nerve agent. I mean, this is, if it's properly dispersed by a nation-state attack on people, it's going to be all over on walls and buildings. And if it was a chlorine attack, the chlorine will be gone. But no nation state, in my view, would ever use chlorine. It is a very inefficient gas to be used. That makes no sense to drop a chlorine cylinder out of any aircraft any terrorist group might affix a bomb to a cylinder and try to blow it up, but a lot more people are going to get hurt by the munition rather than by the chlorine. It has to be properly dispersed. So nation states don't use chlorine.
These are harrowing scenes. Panic, fear, terror, soaked, trembling children, screaming adults, and strange as it may seem, many of them had no idea about what was going on.
We were in the basement. My mother told me that we had run out of food and wouldn't have anything to eat until tomorrow. I heard a noise outside. Somebody was shouting that we had to go to the hospital, so we went there. When I came in, some people grabbed me, started pouring water over my head.
11-year-old Hassan Diab was one of the apparent victims in the White Helmets video. Here he is, after being drenched and sprayed. He was found in Douma and interviewed by Russian war correspondent Yevgeny Podubny. He's fine, if a little confused.
That's me in the video, that's me. Yes.
As were many other kids. Any child would be terrified, ergo the panic which the White Helmets were there to film. He was eventually found, though, by his father, who was none the wiser.
I didn't hear anything about a chemical attack. I was outside, but I didn't notice anything. I heard that my family was in the hospital.
It does make sense. A poisonous gas would be invisible, you'd imagine. Everybody would want to take precautions, especially when you're hungry and they give out food at the hospital.
I went to the hospital, walked upstairs and found my wife and children. I asked them what had happened, and they said people outside were shouting about some smell and told them to go to the hospital. At the hospital, they gave dates and cookies to the kids.
One of the doctors, who was reportedly on shift at the time, seemed surprised by the sudden influx.
Some people come to here and wash people in water. And they said, chemical attack. We didn't see any chemical attack symptoms here.
The doctor and others did, however, say that some people came in complaining about difficulty breathing, which is common. When an explosion destroys a building, for example, there's a lot of dust, makes it difficult to breathe, and especially affects people with asthma.
People from the White Helmets told us about the use of chemical weapons, but we saw no sign of that. If chemical weapons were used against those people, our medical staff would have also been affected.
We've sent a request to the White Helmets to comment on this, but have received no answer yet. What we have seen is more and more witnesses coming forward to say there was only panic and no evidence of chemicals.
Okay, we can just... there you have it. I mean, that is it on the ground. And I know someone will say, well, how can you believe it? That's legit. Well, I can believe that more than I can ever believe that Bashar Assad gassed his own people right when Trump's trying to say we're going to evacuate. And it looks like such a clear hoax when the Russian government told us on March 13th that's what was going to happen. So this is the reality of the situation. Odin Yanan predicted it all correctly in his book in 1982. Our government, you live in a country where your very own government supposedly bases foreign policy and attacking a sovereign country on social media accounts. Have you ever heard of anything as laughable and as ridiculous and absurd and tragically sad as that? We live in a country where our very own government bases the risk of World War III, of killing innocent women and children on social media accounts. Give me a freaking break. This is the epitome of tyranny when a government takes it on itself to attack a sovereign country over such a pitifully amateurish hoax as this. If they can hoax us into, and they have, they've not hoaxed you per se, the RBN listener, but they've hoaxed this whole society for the most part. I talked to people this week that believe this BS, that think this is legit, that don't even think about it being a hoax. You know, that just believe that they live in a country that is such goody-goody, such do-gooders, and that we care so much, we're such great humanitarians, that we're willing to risk our children and grandchildren's lives to save the gassed babies from the madman of Assad, when the big bully of the world is the United States of America. The scariest thing to a foreign country is seeing the Americans arrive. The scariest things to a foreign country is to hear saber rattling, because this country here is insane enough, obviously, and Syria proves it. Syria proves just how gut-wrenching, insane, and sadistic these sadists, from Donald Trump on down, and anybody that's fool enough to reach out to Rudy Giuliani to try to help your presidency in the fight that you're in, that he's going to help you, someone that was neck deep into the atrocity that happened on 9/11, is completely lost their senses. We have passed the Rubicon, everyone. Coming up on a break, back in moments.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Back on the Alternative Media, Farron, in the studio. Now, I started on this. I want to finish this. A statement issued by the Syrian Arab News Agency revealed that the destroyed building was a pharmaceutical and chemical industries research institute The Institute works on preparing the chemical compositions for cancer drugs and conducts chemical analysis of the materials entering Syria, which are used in pharmaceutical and food industries. This is one of the places we bomb. You know, if you think about it, if there was a building housing large amounts of chemical weapons and you went and blew it up, you'd just put that gas all across the civilian population, which is probably these sadists' wet dream come true. The Syrian government also confirmed that the attack will not stop the planned visit and inspection by the United Nations OPCW team, which has been tasked with investigating the alleged chemical attacks in Douma. So this lab that we actually bombed was once used by the OPCW team and the fact-finding mission as to collect samples and conduct their work. That's what we bombed. So, add more tragedy to the event. Now, moving on, and I've got a lot of news I want to share at the top of the hour. This past week on Tuesday, Business Insider ran the story. The Supreme Court on Tuesday ruled that part of the federal law that makes it easier to deport immigrants convicted of crimes is too vague. Even old Gorsuch, voted for it. The 5-4 ruling handed the Trump administration a loss on its signature issue. The Supreme Court said Tuesday that the part of the federal law that makes it easier to deport immigrants who have been convicted of crimes is too vague to be enforced. How about that? How about that? Illegal immigrants come here, break the law, then commit crimes inside the country of which they're illegally here, but the Supreme Court rules that our laws are too vague as to deport the criminals. This is one of the stories, I'm going to point them out as we go, that makes me feel like it's completely hopeless. Completely hopeless. I mean, what a bunch of do they represent we the people? Hell no. Hell no, they don't represent we the people. Because if you had a Supreme Court that represented we the people, then obviously they would rule that people that come here illegally, breaking the law initially, and then come into the country and commit, these are violent crimes, yes, we'll deport their ass out of the freaking country. But no, because that's not part of the agenda. The part of the agenda is the complete demographic destruction of America, and guess what? It's going forward with gasoline drawers on. The court's 5-4 decision, an unusual alignment in which new Justice Neil Gorsuch joined the four liberal justices, concerns a catch-all provision of immigration law that defines what makes a crime violent. Convictions for a crime of violence makes deportation a virtual certainty for an immigrant, no matter how long he's lived in the United States. Justice Alina Kagan wrote in her opinion for the court, the decision is a loss for President Trump's administration, which has emphasized stricter enforcement on immigration law. In this case, President Barack Obama's administration took the same position in the Supreme Court in defense of the challenged provision. Bum didn't want to deport anyone either. So I wanted to get this in quickly here. The Supreme Court still ruling every way it possibly can that we can't deport violent illegal immigrants out of the country. So the wholesale sellout is still going full steam ahead. The swamp is a long way from being drained, rest assured. And this is just further proof. The case turned on a decision from 2015 that struck down a similarly worded part of another federal law that imposes longer prison sentences on repeat criminals. No, we can't have longer prison sentences on repeat criminals. We certainly don't want any of that. So this just proves, once again, they act like they're too dumb and ignorant to write the laws correctly, and then they take years to rule that the laws are too vague to be enforced. All the while, we see the slow death, destruction, the incremental demise of what was once America, as the demographic changes, takes its continual destruction on the country. All right, when we come back from that, more news. You're listening to the Alternative Media Fair. I'm back in a moment. We'll be right back.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.